slime, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, countries, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat, right here on Revolution, UCY.TV. And we're on for the next hour. It's the 27th of February. It's actually pretty freaking warm out today, but we didn't break any records. Anyways, I don't really know what to talk about tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go look at a story that has been the most viewed story for over a week. This is the Canadian Brainwashing Corporation News, or the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, or whatever else you can make out of CBC. But this story has really, I see it every day, and it's been here for at least a week. The most viewed stories. This is what people who go to this news site have viewed the most. So it must be really important. But I've not clicked on it because I'm afraid what I'm going to find in here. But I'm going to do it tonight. And the title of this story is Shock and Heartbreak After Adopted Pig Ends Up on the Dinner Table. That's right. That is the most viewed story in CBC News, and this will be across the country. So, I just can't imagine what I'm going to find here. There's a little pig. So, shock and heartache after adopted pig ends up on the dinner table. Remember, this is the most viewed story on CBC, which is the largest broadcaster of news in the country. And it's had 10,587 shares, so it must be a damned important story. Last summer, Leon Davis cared for dozens of squirming piglets after a rescue operation in Duncan, British Columbia. One of the 57 animals the Nanaimo SPCA branch manager nursed back to health was Molly, a Vietnamese pot-bellied pig who finally found her forever home last month. But just weeks after the adoption, Davis heard the news. Molly had been butchered and eaten by the new owner after problems were reported with the little pig. First reaction, I'd say, was shock and heartbreak. You know, all the animals that come through our care or branches we get attached to. To hear that somebody did this to an animal that we worked so hard to make sure was healthy and try to get it into a good home is absolutely heartbreaking. Molly's owner isn't being charged, Davis said, but they'll be blacklisted by the SPCA and won't be allowed to adopt again from any of the province's locations. His new porcine ward, 10-month-old Jack, highlights how much dedication a pig requires. Jack, the other pig, was turned into the SPCA by a family who adopted him as a stray. He was a little bit nippy at first, but we're working on that, Davis said. He built Jack a house outdoors and says staff bury Jack's meals so he can root. He's not biting anymore, Davis said, laughing. A prospective adoptee's property and experience are taken into consideration before they can take livestock home, according to the SPCA. People aren't allowed to lie. Although Molly's owner was vetted by the SPCA and signed a contract specifically stating that the pet couldn't be killed or consumed, Davis said it's not a criminal offense to breach that contract. Well, I'm thinking here, if you sign a contract that specifically states that the pet couldn't be killed or consumed, Davis says it's not a criminal offense to breach that contract. Well, maybe it's not a criminal offense to breach a whole bunch of these contracts that the province and the federal government are putting up as law, which is nothing more than a way to stick their hand in your pocket and take your hard-earned money out of it. So I'll have to look into that. You sign a contract not to eat or kill the pig, but it's not a criminal offense to breach the contract, I'll have to look into that. Animal cruelty laws only apply when an animal suffers, he said, and investigators found that Molly was killed humanely. People can lie, I suppose, but there's not always a way to tell, Davis said, but we try to impress on people that we're here to support and help if anything's gone wrong. Yeah, the SPCA would have taken Molly back into his care if the owner couldn't find a solution to the problems that we're reportedly having. He's disappointed the law allows any owner to kill their pet, be it a dog, a fish, or a pig, at their discretion. Although he's never seen it happen before, he thinks the law could be changed to prevent future slaughters. Any humane euthanasia decision should be under the supervision of a veterinarian, he said. I'm hoping that might change in the future. Now, look at that. I don't even see, the reason I went through this was to see the comments, but I don't see any comments here. I don't see a place for anybody to put comments. But anyways, that's story. With all the crap that's going on in this country, with the fact we're being taken down from the inside, by the fact that we're being invaded by migrants, the fact that Canada partnered with the UN Refugee Agency and George Soros's Open Society, all of these things, and the sell-off of our electrical systems and our healthcare systems and every other damn system that we paid to build are being sold off to the private sector now under the corporate globalism, which fits the Rockefeller nonsense of something has to take the place of the government, and business seems the obvious entity to do it. So with all of the things going on in this country, the most viewed story for the last week has been a story about somebody who ate a pig. I wish they would have put comments in here because it would have been pretty wild to read the comments. Because every lunatic, that's the only thing I can call them, is lunatics, mentally inept portion of our people who think global warming is real and sustainability is a good thing and yada, yada, yada. I would have really enjoyed reading their little pig comments, because one little pig in this country is more important than the entire country. It's more important than this satanic early childhood sex education. It's more important than our borders being open. It's more important that all these cities became sanctuary cities to house and hide these illegal immigrants, even though it breaks federal immigration law. So this really sets to me where the mindset of my people is at. Nowhere good, that's for sure. Nowhere good. Now, my good friend and everybody else's good friend who listens to UCY.TV sent me a note from India. If I can find out who. Trudeau's visit came from the India Press and columnist Ajiti Datta of India described Trudeau's vacation. Now, I wish all Canadians would listen to this instead of worrying about the little pig who apparently has already been eaten and probably flushed down the toilet a long time ago. This is a pretty good piece, because if anybody saw the pictures of jackass Tinkerbell Trudeau over in India, that should be embarrassing, but apparently it's not the most viewed story, the little pig is. But anyways, this guy from India writes, Justin Trudeau is a mascot of everything that is wrong with the world today. From being at the forefront of encouraging every degeneracy to welcoming radicalism into his homeland, from cheap gimmicks of tokenism to attempts at creating a culture of politically correct absurdities, the stink of his leftist hypocrisy wastes far and wide. As a citizen of India, I can get this to scroll up, I could not care less if the elected leader of Canada seeks to drive his nation into the dumps. But where it has an adverse effect on my country is where I choose to draw the line. Now, that's a brilliant little statement. And we here in Canada need to get with the program. But you see, all too often, you know, some people say it's, you know, outside the box. I just did it differently. You know, I mean, if you're a rat in a box running around in circles, and you get out of the box and then look in the box, you got a different viewpoint, which is very important. Me, I did it different. I did this before I think that the outside the box thing even showed up. I'm sure it's before it. I just visualized a very high balcony in a theater so that I could get this really wide, deep view of what was going on. So the guy from India, he's not in our box, and he can view it and go, what the hell is wrong with them Canadians? Like, if they lost their minds, well, they did a long time ago. A very long time ago. Many generations ago. So, you know, I would say the same thing, I think. You know, if this nonsense was going on in India, which it is, I mean, it's just not as in your face as it is here. But, you know, you can always change things around. If I was you know, in you say, you know, as a citizen of Canada, I couldn't care less what the elected leader of India is up to. But when it has an adverse effect on our nation, we need to draw the line. It's that simple. And Canadians are really bad at drawing lines. They're terrible at it. You know, I came back from BC, I think it was in 79, maybe, somewhere in there. And that's when the interest rates were going right through the freaking ceiling, like they were in the 20%+. And it was having an absolute destructive outcome on the farms, the farmers, their families. But it's not by accident. None of that stuff is ever by accident. They wanted to drive the farmers off the land so that they, instead of family farms, would have large corporate farms, of which most of it is now. But I remember the farmers said enough is enough, and they drew a line in the sand, and I was so proud of them. But I told them exactly what was going to happen. You know, like once you say no, right? Once you put that line there and you say no, you don't move from that position. See, it took the farmers to get up on the moral high horses to say what they said. Enough is enough. No. But you know, I said, watch this. This is what's going to happen now. The government's going to come back and open a new negotiation. And the farmers are going to fall for it and get sucked in by it, which they did. So, stupid telephones. So they backed off their line, which is the wrong thing to do. And we've been doing that ever since I can remember as a child, always backing up. Now, there's a rule of thumb. Once you've made your position known, you don't move from it. You don't get back into negotiation. You already said no. And that's why I love those folks back in Quebec so much, from my mother's hometown. They understand the power of the word no. My uncle, a little bit farther north of that town, he understands the power of the word no. And I understand the power of the word no. You don't move off your position. If anybody's going to negotiate, then you be the one to negotiate. Because if you go to their negotiation, you're likely going to lose. So the people in the little place, Shawville, Quebec, on the other side of the Ottawa River, from Renfrew, Ontario, they passed a language law that said all business signs had to be in French. And when the language police came to Shawville and said, you haven't changed your sign. They go, what are you talking about? Well, we passed a law. Well, you didn't ask us. We like it the way it is. Thank you very much. Well, yeah, but we passed a law. Well, that's nice. Goodbye. Now, they said they weren't going to change their signs, so they've made their position known. So the language police went away, and they thought, damn, well, we should go and try and renegotiate with them, which is exactly what they did. They said, well, you can have, I guess you can still have your English, but you have to have really big fonts on the French, and little wee fonts onto English in there. That would satisfy the government. But the people didn't get into the negotiation with them. Well, how big a font can we have? And yada, yada, yada. They'd already made the position known. And they weren't getting dragged into negotiation because that drags you into a weak position. They already had the strong position. Why would you allow that to be weakened? And they said, sorry, but we like it the way it is. Have a nice day. Goodbye. They came back one more time to try to open a negotiation. But the door wasn't open a crack for them. Did the same thing with my uncle when the tree police came all the frickin' way from Ottawa, which has got to be probably an hour and a half drive up to his bush to tell an 80-year-old man that he has to phone Ottawa so some pencil necks can come up and tell him what trees to cut in his bush that he's had since he was in his 20s. My uncle just kind of looked at them like they're idiots, which they are. Put his position, made it very clear he had no intention of moving off of that position. And they haven't been back to his bush. Now, we could solve so many of these problems so easily if the people would just take a position and stand on it. You know, you got all these people complaining about this early childhood education, which they and refuse to put their children back in it until it's been dealt with. No negotiation. It's our province. The province does not belong to a bunch of bureaucrats. It does not belong to these politicians that come and go every 4, 8, 10, 12, whatever years. It belongs to the people. The people are the power, not the government. The government only has the power you give it. You know, one thing that really bites me is this stupid ladder thing. I mean, I spend a lot of time in construction. And I mean, that irritates the snot right out of me. That these guys have been crawling up and down these ladders for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. Some pencil neck comes along and says, well, you got to take a course and pay us money in order to go up the ladder. Well, the position of the construction worker should have been real simple. What? Are you an idiot? Go away. That would have been the end of it. Would have been the end of it. I never seen a country in my life where the general population is afraid to get in trouble like this one. Well, if we say something like that, we might get in trouble. You're not in grade 3. You're fully grown men and women. Deal with it. Learn to say no. It's really disgusting. You know, and we got such a bureaucratic mess on our hands, and that came about simply because we allowed them to move our industries offshore, which left a whole ton of people unemployed. And again, that wasn't by mistake. So where did all these people end up at? Well, they keep building new bureaucracies. And then they put those people that used to produce something into these bureaucracies that produce nothing except headaches. And now all of these people who used to be productive are now running around with a piece of paper going, well, your lawn's too long. You got a vehicle in your driveway that really shouldn't be there. Why? It's my vehicle, my driveway. Well, yes, but it's not licensed. Why don't you go away? Don't come back. I mean, they just keep loading us up with nonsense, and people keep bowing down to it. That is not a nation. That is a kindergarten class, I suppose. I don't know, maybe even the kindergarten kids would stand up faster than the adults in this country. It's absolutely disgusting. Now, where did I put that? I put a thing up on Facebook, of which really isn't getting many hits because I'm still in jail. But it's another one of these things, okay? Now, this is out of the newspaper. I think it was out of the Toronto paper. And you used to be able to go up over Mount Royal in Montreal down the other side. Now they only let you go halfway. And then you'd have to take a bus or something to go the other way. Or you have to go back the way you came. So the basic story is Montreal mayor draws commuters' ire in battle likened to Toronto's King Street pilot debate, which is causing all kinds of problems. All kinds of businesses being hammered because they're putting in light rail transit or bike lanes or whatever the hell they're doing. Which is putting an awful lot of downtown core businesses in a very dicey position. So I want people to understand that this isn't coming from Montreal. It ain't coming from Toronto. It ain't coming from a province or the federal government. Okay? These are UN initiatives, plain and simple. So I just stuck a PDF in here, which is called the I think it's from Shanghai, maybe. Oh, yeah. The Shanghai Manual, but it's based on the global changes. And there's links in there that fit everywhere. But in there it says, when a city mayor or an other decision maker takes these tools and applies them in their city knowingly and appropriately, positive outcomes and benefits for the city inhabitants can result. And that's a quote of that document. I just put it, it just means the loss of your freedoms. And it's more UN 20 Agenda 21/2030 coming to your town or city. Make no bones about it. Every single council, county, provincial, and federal government have become agencies of the UN and its globalist partners. The right of private property and private transportation are high on their hit list of what's sustainable or what not sustainable. Every level of government is conspiring, and it is a conspiracy against us, the people who built this damn nation. It is a conspiracy. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to destroy our nation and our way of life. So it's time we stand up from coast to coast, say no. Anyways. I'm going to put this, I should put this document. We'll put it in the chat. You there, Christopher?
I am, my friend.
How goes it?
Listening to your conversation and enjoying it.
You know, it's funny. I never know what my show's about. You know, it's just, you could do these shows 24/7 and never run out of nothing. You know,
well, what
it's not that crazy.
Well, what I find really hard to do is, you know, you always talk about becoming vocal local in the sense of Will Roberts. However, when it comes to talking to one of your own people that have a uniform on, that come onto your property and tell you that you're doing something that is against the grain, that, i.e. government grain, you tell them to piss off, and next thing you know, you could end up in handcuffs. And they allow it. Like, they enjoy it. Because you know why? The biggest thing is the usual excuse. Well, I got a family to feed, so I got to do this to you so that I can afford to feed my family.
Yeah, so, because I used to have a job producing something, and I don't now, so I have to do this.
Yeah, well, right? Yeah.
But you know, I just listened to what you said there, you know, like, first off, they didn't come on your property. Well, they didn't, because your property is an abstract concept, which ends up as a corporate piece of paper, and you don't live in or on a piece of paper. The fact of the matter is, the Crown owns the ground. Okay, so the sad part is the way this is set up, and it's all a fraud, is that they can come on that chunk of ground that you call your property because they own it. They own the ground, they own the house, they own everything. All you got is a certificate saying you can buy and sell the damn thing. Right? And you can fix it up, right? But you don't own it, you know. So when you put a new roof on your house, which mine desperately needs, you're roofing their house. Because they own that piece of ground. Land is not ground. Land is also an abstract concept. This is my land. That's what killed me about the what the hell is that? The Landowners Association. You know? This land is our land. Well, what land are you talking about?
Because
we live in a legal world, and the land is a piece of paper. It's not the ground. Now, I dicked around with my municipality for quite a while. You know, okay, like, who owns the land? Right? Well, the land isn't real, right? And they say, well, you own the property. Okay, but the property is an abstract concept. It is nothing. It's a piece of paper. So we went back and forth with this for quite a while. I said, okay, let me make it simple for you. Okay, who owns the terra firma that this freaking house is sitting on? I've yet to get a response.
Well, they have to look in a very old dictionary to understand that.
Well, no, it doesn't matter about the dictionary because we're in the legal system.
Well, if I ask my bylaw,
you're not in a dictionary. Yes. You're in a legal system, and the legal system is fictional, which means your land is a fiction, which means your property is a fiction. Okay, you may live in it, but you don't own it. So when they come on to that piece of ground and say, you can't have that vehicle there because it ain't licensed, you say, well, I'm working on it. Well, I'm sorry, you can't be here. They say, well, this is my property. Well, no, it's not. It's not your property. Your property is basically a stock certificate. That's why they say, you know, the biggest investment that most Canadians ever make is their property. Because that's all it is an investment. And just like a stock, it can go up and it can go down. But every improvement you put on that house, it's their house. Because you don't own the ground it's sitting on.
Well, that's the point. One of the things I would suggest, Ron, is you think about getting that. People are trying to put improvements on their property to make the value higher,
right,
and to live cleaner, which, right, I see nothing wrong with the living cleaner part.
No.
The reason that the bylaw comes in and uses the excuse of you're devaluing what is going on in your neighborhood by not having your vehicle properly registered and proper air pressures in your tires. And, you know, I can understand that to a point.
And who loses? Yes, thing. Yes, but you got to understand why that is. Who loses? Okay, if your neighborhood disintegrates, okay, and people quit looking after the house and people quit not worrying about the yard and that, okay, then the value of the property or their certificate or the stock goes down. Okay, so that harms the municipality because they're taxing your property. If the value goes down, they can't tax you as much. The bank can't get as big a mortgage from the next buyer. The real estate agent can't get as much commission. And the lawyer who's supposed to be your lawyer, which is really the bank's lawyer, who's supposed to make sure everything is clean on your end, who is just you pay that lawyer, that real estate lawyer, to make sure that the bank didn't make any mistakes. His job is to protect the bank, not yours, not you. So this whole thing about, you know, keeping the property values up, that's to keep feeding these paper people.
You know, it's ridiculous. On the other side of that coin, I live in a fairly clean neighborhood. You know, everybody's got greener grass than me. I'm probably the worst one in the neighborhood because I got a garden and it's pretty big. And, well, it's hidden in the backyard. But they're all looking at, well, we all want to keep this clean together, which is, I don't know. I don't see what's wrong with it. Like, that's kind of what made us white Europeans a little cleaner than wiping your hand with your butt.
I understand all that. But the people that are keeping their yards clean and that, you know, they'll say, you know, this is my property and I want to keep it up. Well, it's not really making any sense what they're saying. Yeah, it's your property, but your property is not your property. Your property belongs to the legal entity that they created, of which you're an agent for. So it's not your property. It belongs to the corporate entity that they created. And then they put you in charge of fixing it up. They put you in charge of paying the taxes and the upkeep and everything on it when you don't own it. Now, we got to get to the point where we own the piece of ground. Now we got a country. You know, we're living in company houses. Only the company ain't doing the upkeep on them. We are. So not only are we laboring for the company, we're spending our labor to put into the upkeep of their property. Because they created the legal entity. So we should be thoroughly pissed off. Now, I just want to get, this is how ridiculous, I've been in construction for a little while, and I used to do quite a bit of insurance work, smoke damage, flood damage, fires, whatever. And so a buddy of mine, we did his basement a couple of years back or whatever, and whoever was living down there got mucking with the sump pump and screwed something up, and we'd had a heavy rain. And whatever he did to it, the sump pump didn't go off. And it flooded a portion of the basement. So, because the bedroom and the hallway and the other little office room are all on one level, and there's a step up to the rest, to the bathroom, the kitchen, the living room, and all that kind of stuff. So it mainly just flooded that back end. But everything's trash, right? So he's got click flooring down there, and you know, as I know, Chris, all the trim now is just pressed paper, so it just wicks out, it just sucks the water up. So basically, it's a pretty simple thing, you know, rip the floor out, rip the underlayment out, and tear the trim off, and see if it's wicked up into the drywall at all. And if it hasn't, fine. If it has, you cut it up and replace it. So it's a pretty simple job, but he called his insurance company, and they have to send in the specialists to assess the situation, which is nothing more than some trim and maybe a bit of drywall and some flooring. And then the specialists, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're wearing hazmat suits, because the guy living downstairs never told Paul that it got flooded down there, and he's been living down there with water all over the place for the last week and didn't tell the landlord. So there's some mold in that down there. No, it's not real bad, but there's some mold in that down there. But, you know, it's the same thing as you say mold, all hell breaks loose. It's like when they were complaining about, you know, the old paints with the lead in it, that it would kill everybody. Well, the lead in the paint didn't kill anybody, and the mold didn't kill anybody. But it's all about fear-mongering and taking away from the people their right to work on their own stuff. So they're going to send in this crew, which will likely end up going downstairs in hazmat suits. And then they're going to tear up the floor, and then they have to take it to a lab to analyze it, right? I mean, it's a bunch of click flooring. Take it where it belongs. Take it to the dump. But no, it has to go to a lab and be analyzed and qualified and make remediator measures for if there's some mold or whatever. I mean, it's just getting totally out of hand, which is just more paperwork, more red tape, more hoops to hop. It's freaking sad, man. You know, but the fact is, well, you know, like what, you know, I have that lady, I should put that on YouTube. I have that lady who's the head of the real estate board here, and I talked to her once or twice prior, and then we got into it a little deeper, and she agreed on recording that that the entire real estate industry is a fraud. Complete and total fraud. Because you didn't buy anything. I mean, you bought a stock certificate, more or less, but you didn't purchase the house. You didn't purchase the ground the house is sitting on. You know, I said, like, your signs ought to say, you know, abstract concept for sale. Now, that would be truthful. Anything less than that is a fraud. And she agreed with it. So, you know, we don't own our homes. We pay taxes on our homes. We pay mortgages on our homes at interest. If you're late on your taxes, you pay interest on that. And these people produce nothing. All they do, their jobs is to set up these administrative bodies in order so that they can live pretty well while we're out busting our asses working to feed them. It's bad enough you got to go to work to feed your own family, keep a roof over your head, but you're going to work to feed your family, keep a roof over your head, and feed somebody else's family, keep a roof over their head, because they don't produce anything. They're of no value. You know, and this idea that you need to have these so-called community police to come around and say, you can't have your car in the driveway there. Why? Well, it's not licensed, or it's got a flat tire or something like this. You see, in the old days, when men were men and families knew who was living beside them and they, knew each other, looked after each other's kids, all that kind of stuff. If it was getting too bad, the neighborhood folks would go over and say, you know, Jimmy and Sally, you know, it's starting to look a little rough around here. You know, do you need a hand to clean it up a little bit? That's how life used to be, right? But there's no connection with anybody anymore. So now you got these pencil necks coming along, demanding you do this, demanding you do that. And, oh, by the way, I saw you smoking in your truck. Here's a ticket. I mean, they're just bleeding us dry. We're getting no value for our money. But we're feeding all these other people. You were going to say something.
Yeah, there was a... I watched a video last night of a man. Now, this is allegedly from 1969, but he came out in 1989 with it again. And he was discussing, like, basically he was just discussing Agenda 21/30. And it had a lot to do with that, everything you're speaking of. He, I wish I could get his name. I've watched so many. But he does a good job of talking about layering things, like bureaucratically.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah, to the point where you can't even think straight because, you know, they're first coming for the drunk drivers. Then they're going to go to the next level. And then it's whatever you do in a car, whether it's eat, talk, they're going after that because they want you out of your vehicles. And this was... It does kind of sound like that era that he was talking in, based on other research I've done, but it fits with exactly what's going on. Like people are going, oh yeah, good idea. Distracted drivers, give them tickets. Drunk drivers, you know, we should hang them all. Nobody mentions hanging our prime minister or presidents.
Well, no, that needs to be hung. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter how I look at things. I always end up back at the 1200s before the Magna Carta was signed. And the reason for the Magna Carta was the people were sick and tired of the frickin' lawyers screwing with them. So they decide they're going to kill them all. That would solve the problem. Okay? Get out of my face. Don't bother me, right? And that's our problem. I mean, all of this UN garbage that's coming down on us is because these are all legal agreements. The only way you're getting a legal agreement is with a lawyer. So we have banks and banks and banks of international lawyers. We've got all kinds of lawyers at every level of our government here. We are being run by the lawyers. And the lawyers are the ones that write the law. And they're writing the law in such a manner as to destroy your liberties and to destroy your nation. Now, I don't understand how it is that the people back in the 1200s figured it out. I guess they didn't have TV and radio and newspapers, but they figured it out. You know, they probably got together and said, what the hell's going on here? Ah. Okay, because the lawyers are liars. They're manipulators. I mean, the very language of a lawyer is a jargon language, which is a language of the thieves, a language used to deceive and gain advantage over. So we have to get rid of the legal system. You know, a legal system is the opposite of law. And the legal system, and I had that chat with that lawyer from the Attorney General's office, and he had no problem agreeing what law was, none whatsoever. Law is very simple: treat others who wish to be treated, and do no harm. That's law. Legal is about creating creating income for the government. It's about building bureaucracies. Okay? And the bureaucracy is not government. At least it's not supposed to be government, but that's what it's become. The governments come and go, but the bureaucracy stays. So when the new government gets there, the bureaucracy and all their lawyers and that have already set up what they expect the new government to do. And that's exactly what they do. They do as they're told. So we don't have, I like that picture. I had this old picture a long time ago. You know, this guy, this British guy sitting in a high back chair. With a hat on and that, but there's no face. You know, there's glasses and a hat and a suit and a body sitting in this chair and just says the faceless bureaucrat. Because they're all hiding in these offices. If you ever call these people, they won't even give you their name anymore. They want your name, but they won't give you their name. So we got an awful pile of work to do, but we're going to get it done. You know, we don't have a choice. You know, like when Paul told me what he was going through, this insurance company, that they got to go and analyze some click flooring. Like, give it a break, right? I mean, this is just to keep these people busy. And these people get paid. They get paid a lot. But they don't accomplish anything. They're not going to put the floor down. You know, they're busy with their little tools analyzing thing and gathering data, which is not important data. No use for it, really, except unless you're going to try and manipulate somebody somehow down the road. You know? We're out of time here almost. I went back to look at the Earth Charter. I don't know if I still get that open or not, but it's absolutely amazing how few people got us to where they got us. You know? You have the tax-exempt foundations and more strong and Gorbachev are huge players in this. I'm going to talk about that in the next show, I think, because if you know, it spells it out pretty easy. Excuse me, we only got a couple minutes left here, but the Earth, the idea of the Earth Charter originated in 1987. Well, what happened in 1987? The Gro-Brundtland Report was published, Our Common Future. Gro-Brundtland was the vice president of the Socialist International. And it says the idea of the Earth Charter originated in 1887 by Morris Strong and Mikhail Gorbachev as members of the Club of Rome, of which Pierre Trudeau was a member of the Canadian Club of Rome. And what does the Club of Rome say? Therefore, what is the enemy? Man is the enemy. So this all happened when the United Nations World Commission on Environment and Development, of which the same guys came up with, called for a new charter to guide the transition to what? Sustainable development. In 1992, the need for a charter was urged by then-Secretary Boutros-Ghali at the Rio summit. But the time for such declaration was not believed to be right just yet. The Rio Declaration became the statement of the achievable consensus at the time. In 94, Strong and Gorbachev, working through organizations they each founded, the Earth Council was Strong's, and the Green Cross International was Gorbachev's, restarted the Earth Charter as a civil society initiative with the help of the government of the Netherlands. So, and then one of the principal creators of the Earth Charter was Stephen Clark Rockefeller. And so... and UNESCO and all this kind of stuff. So we're going to delve into that some more, because I think people need to really be able to tighten this down a little bit. Very few people. And so they say they got a consensus, right? Well, they didn't ask, well, like the people in Shawville, Quebec said when the language police came in. Well, we passed a new law because we got a consensus. And what did people in Shawville, Quebec say? Well, you didn't ask us. And this is the same thing. They're saying they have a consensus on this thing. Did they ever ask you? Of course they didn't ask you. And these groups here that they say the charter has been formally endorsed by organizations representing millions of people, including UNESCO. Over 250 universities, the World Conservation Union, the Indian National Capital Territory of Delhi, the 2001 U.S. Conference of Mayors, and dozens of youth organizations. All done in the background. You didn't hear about this. I didn't hear about this. Right? And religious groups, the Soka Gakka International, representing more than 12 million Buddhists worldwide. What the hell's that got to do with Canada? Has supported the Earth Charter since its inception. The Unitarian Universalist Association congregations, now that's pagan, which is all with this Earth Gaia and all this bullshit. But basically, it's the religious right have objected to the document on the ground that it is secular and espouses socialism. Well, that's what we should all be kicked off about. I hear music. It means we're out of time. Thanks, Chris, for calling in. Thanks for listening. If you're listening in, we'll be back Thursday, same time, same place, 17 o'clock. Take care, everybody. We're out of time. That means we're out of here. But remember, rock capital every day. Lower class and social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water. Sick from air. Making money. They don't care. Caesarship. Force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for the more.